Things a bit loose. That's what she said. That'd be an unpleasant thing for her to say. Do we have a little too much of this?
Headspace, maybe.
Do you feel like we're lower?
Yeah. You can usually we're usually borderline leg.
But we're like borderline like
no pants. We could both be pantless.
Dicks are just flopping around here.
You never know.
Does that look alright?
Is it just the two white shirts thing?
Yeah, we're in a different spot. We're both wearing white shirts.
Yeah.
We look like you're wearing a French shirt, but we look like we're supporting England.
I suppose so, during the Six Nations. Yeah.
And I'm even wearing a white hat.
I've got a black hat.
Okay, there you go. There's a difference. Otherwise, there'd be no way for people to tell the difference.
Tell us apart.
I'm also wearing a cap.
I quite like that hat. It's a golf hat, isn't it?
It is a golf hat. Yeah. I like this hat too. That's why I bought it. Actually, I bought it from a pro shop at a golf course, right?
How much did that set you back?
This hat was $47. So it's quite expensive for a hat, isn't it?
I got mine for free.
Well,
so it's not expensive at all.
How do you get hats for free these days?
When Temu sponsored me.
Temu sponsored you and sent you a hat.
Yeah.
Did you have to like write down some stuff you wanted?
Yeah, I had a whole list of stuff that I got sent from Temu.
Fantastic.
I still use a lot of it.
So the quality of the hat. So let's do a snap test. Oh, little snap test.
What's a snap test? Okay.
Ooh.
It's got a bit of a snap.
Little snap. And release snap. Let's hear this. Not as quite as good as the pop was good at the start. Get a bit of this, bitches. Oh! I think I just came. Well, holding your hat. Mark.
Tony, we're in a different room.
We're in a different room. We're still in my house.
We've surrendered the lounge.
Yes, it's like we're some sort of republic that has been conquered, because now we're
in exile.
We are in exile. We're in the spare bedroom.
We've been banished
to the spare bedroom, so my partner can enjoy the lounge every Monday.
And watch some TV.
Rather than her just be... There's a downstairs lounge.
And there's a TV down there as well.
Yeah.
But I guess there's no access
her
to
like... Her problem is, her issue that she finds is she likes to cook on Mondays.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
That's kind of next to the kitchen.
Right there.
Yeah.
So she doesn't cook for us, does she?
No.
It'd be nice getting snacks or something.
I'd love to just rock on up, you know, get served a meal. I used to get served coffee, but the service levels have kind of steadily declined. Then you kind of just like, hey, I'll show you how to use the coffee maker. Yeah. So I learned how to make coffee from you, which is a great skill to have. Thank you for that.
No problem.
And then I just like stop having coffees.
Yeah, you're like, stop just doing stuff for myself. Yeah. I had a coffee before we started today.
Nice. How would you go?
It was just an espresso, so no milk or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Am I over tapping this?
Tapper, tapper, tapper.
Tapper, tapper, tapper. But no, we're in a different space. I feel like it's a little bit probably a better space acoustically.
I think so, because we've got carpet here instead of wooden floors.
Apologies to anyone who watched last week on my channel or listened last week.
We had a couple of issues.
There were a number of issues.
The sound, when you're a podcaster, it tends to be one of the things that you want to get right.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit echoey. So we can't hear what you're listening to right now.
We tested it.
And it sounded fine.
It sounded fine.
So if it's shit, something's gone wrong now.
If it's shit, then we should have left the test running.
Yeah.
And we've buggered it by stopping it, listening to it, and starting it up again.
This is why I don't trust the scientific method. Never test. Always assume.
Just go for it.
There's not a lot of head on this non-alcoholic beer that I've got here. Like, as soon as I poured it.
I brought that beer for you.
I appreciate it. I didn't pay for it. You haven't paid for it. Well, before we get to that. So let's just go through the other issues that we had last week.
There was the pee break.
Yeah. So I took a pee break last week. And I've done that before in the past, and I just...
Numerous times.
Yeah, just cut it out.
He's quite the urinator.
Quite the pisser, they call me. Tony the piss machine.
But if he usually edits that out.
I was in a bit of a rush last week.
Yep.
And, completely forgot to do it.
Yep.
And left it in, and there's about three minutes of you on the internet just looking at your phone.
I don't know if it's about 3 minutes. It's pretty quick.
2.5 minutes.
Maybe. I was just looking at my phone, and for some reason I started talking to the camera.
Good.
I wonder if he's going to edit this out. And the answer was no.
It was in there. Thanks to all the people who said that was the best part of the podcast.
Yes.
We appreciate you. Yeah. I don't know if that's an insult. I think they genuinely were meaning it in a nice way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something charming about seeing people just constantly get it wrong.
You know, technical issues are actually fantastic for engagement.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people who just write in a comment going, hey, guys, just heads up, you're a bit of reverb on that. And, you're like, thanks. Yeah. And I felt like putting in a pinned comment, but like, there was like 60 of the same thing, yeah, and people exactly. just be like, oh, what's going on with the sound?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the sounds. And I was like, oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Just, I yeah. just.
I did that the other day. Feel free to comment. I got the kickoff time wrong on one of the previews I did, which is weird because in my notes it was right.
Did you set me wrong? Because I screwed up one.
Definitely. It was you. It was me.
You told me that the Irish one was going to start at 9 a.m. No, oh, that was me fucking up then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on your channel account.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wrote the wrong time on the board, but my notes were right. But I just, on autopilot, I just wrote the wrong time and I said the wrong time. And I pinned the comment. The first one was like, hey, that's the wrong time. I pinned it.
I screwed
But I still got a lot of, hey, that's the wrong time. Where'd you get that time from? Hey, didn't you notice that time is not the correct time? But I
screwed the pooch.
I would rather people say it than don't, because at least I can absolve myself by saying, oh, I pinned a comment. I've done what I can do.
I deliberately didn't pin my comment because it was leading to more engagement.
Drive the algo.
The old algo, because you know me, I'm all about that YouTube algo game.
You're a big algo man.
There was another big problem with last week's podcast. Did you pick it up?
What was the
sound,
other one?
Piss break, and there was one that was crucial.
No, what was the other one?
This gentleman was in prison.
Oh, the 2CG.
Well, it was 2CG list. So was it really a 2CG?
How many comments did you get on that?
Zero.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah.
If even I didn't notice. It's a pretty sad state of affairs.
I had it downstairs doing the filming for it for the thing.
Yeah, the B-roll for that little.
But here, now we've got it back. So this is our annual award for our awards evening. We've got lots of them. We get them shipped in from...
From Temu.
But they're high quality Temu product. And we send this all off to all those illustrious
winners. Temu Switzerland, of course.
And there'll be another, this event will take place, it's a wee way off.
Yep.
November. Once the final game is done, once all the cards have been stacked.
Get your thinking caps on now for good categories and remember examples, because we never remember anything.
We should. We could do an episode where we do our predictions on what they're going to be, but we won't because there's rugby to talk about. But before we talk to rugby about rugby, we should acknowledge our spectacular sponsor. Who is our spectacular sponsor?
Hot Jams. Ba-bam. I'm sure you've just edited it.
Yeah, got a Hot Jams coming at your face.
Their sound quality was fantastic in their promo vid.
Bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, ba-da-dum.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit of live music. Get you rumping and bumping next to with your friends and colleagues.
What do Hot Jams do, Tony?
Hot Jams, they're a cover band from Dublin, Ireland. They're in Dublin, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, and they'll do any of your a great wedding band. Real killer wedding band.
That's the one.
Gets a pump and feels the vibe. There's nothing like a good band at a wedding. People are filled with a bit of lubrication of joyous.
There's always lubrication at weddings.
Romantic spirits are in the air.
You're a musical man. You'll have to educate me. It says 5-piece band. Does that mean there's 5 people? Like doing 5 different instruments?
Yes,
or what?
Yes.
That's 5, what 5 pieces is?
Yeah, well, there's 5. No, well, it's not. Well, voice can be an instrument. So you can have a 5-piece band and one person is just a singer. So there's 5 people.
What if it's like the one dude who's got like the 5 instruments on him? Is that still just the one man band?
Well, the guy with the big bass drum.
Those guys.
Yeah. Where'd you come from? I don't know why I'm thinking that.
Got no joke
all of a sudden. The guy with the harmonica strapped over the...
Does that count as
a little, a six-piece little band hi-hat on his knee? Yeah.
Technically?
No, it's a one-piece.
It's a one-man band? Okay.
It's a one-man band. There you go. It is.
All right. Well, these guys are a 5-piece band.
Yes. I looked at their Instagram, and there was a lady singer.
Yeah.
Lady singer?
Lady singer. Women can do anything these days. Will wonders never cease.
Yeah.
By golly.
But yeah, they're happy to take care of you. They also do events of different sorts. Got a birthday party you want a live band for, or corporate event. I'm sure they do some corporate stuff.
That's it.
You give them throw them a few shekels, they'll take care of the good times.
You can go see them. They're doing some showcase events 19th of April at The Bath in Dublin. That's not Bath, England.
I've been to both of the places.
You've been to The Bath? As in,
I've been to a lot of pubs in Ireland, in Dublin. But
good chance you've been to The Bath.
Maybe.
Someone in the comments actually said that they knew one of the members of the band.
Small world, isn't
Small
it?
World, yeah. Small world, yeah. 26th of April at the Old Warehouse, County Offaly. Is that the right one?
You struggled with this last week. I did,
yeah.
Offaly sounds right to me. I did look it up
in the meantime. And 17th of May at the Promenade. County Wicklow.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Get down. Support the
team.
They
brought us these beers.
Thank you.
Mine's kind of musically themed. I don't know if you can see that, but it's got a dancing skeleton man playing a banjo.
Mine's alcohol free because I'm not drinking alcohol for the next wee while. The old hard 75 day.
I bought that one because it's
a little bird.
There's not that many selections with the alcohol free beer, but I figured that one kind of looks Irish. There were cheaper ones I could have got you.
Oh, thanks, man.
But I went with the slightly more expensive one, which kind of looked Irishy themed. So there's a connection.
Brilliant. I appreciate it. Well, look, I've got a few. I've had a few alcoholic beers in this time. I was drinking a little Garage Project last week, wasn't I?
Alcohol-free beers?
Yeah.
Okay, you said alcoholic beers.
Oh, jeez.
That's kind of... I've had alcoholic beers too, Tony.
Congratulations. All right, fantastic. Anyway, thank you very much.
Cheers to Hot Jams.
Check them out.
They'll be happy men after the result, and women after last week.
Yeah, ba-boom. What a result. Where are we going to start? Well, let's talk about some rugby. There was actual rugby.
Actual test 15 match.
15-on-15 test match rugby. I was getting exposed to it for the first time this year, the old code.
It all started on Saturday for us.
Yes, nice little kickoff time, actually.
I love the French kickoffs. The French love a good kickoff late, yes. And that works for us.
Oh, we love it.
12-hour time difference, 9 o'clock over there in the evening.
Heavy bit of toast.
9 o'clock over here in the morning.
Ba-boom. Very nice. So, you know, it's not taking up too much of your day either.
Still got the whole day after the game's finished.
Yeah, it's good. High quality.
Didn't go that well for Wales, though.
You know,
the start was all right.
They were all right for the first 20 or 15, so.
15, 20 minutes.
But
your first try on 18.
And it sucks because the amount of conversations they must have had between the end of November and the start of this about restoring pride in the jersey and, you know, there are quality players in this team. You know, this is going to be a great team. We can match with anyone. We can go out there. And then to be just so woefully outclassed.
Yeah.
I think that the area of Wales that is test match level is their loose forwards, but pretty much every other part of their game positionally is not at the standard.
Anything more like tier two?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see how they play Italy, but they're going to be playing good games against Georgia, Fiji, Samoa. They're there at the moment. They're not going to smack it with the big boys for a wee while.
Part of the reason I mentioned the tier two thing is because a lot of countries have actually got really flipping good loose forwards.
Yeah.
It seems to be the one area. I don't know whether it's because of it's a more general skill than like scrummaging, or it's like a less specific body shape. Like a lot of different guys, the different builds can be loose forwards.
I think it's actually a real attractive position to play for one. Like if you're a really talented athlete so you've got an opportunity to not be in the tight five and not have your head in a, right in the front row of the scrum. You don't have to stick your hand between somebody's head, but you're on the fringes of the scrum. Yep. You're able to, you've got a bit of freedom around
quick
the
enough
park.
To get around the park. Yep.
You're fit as all hell. You're able to hit rucks as much as possible, and you're able to add a bit of impetus with ball in hand and also even do a little bit of linking up. Like, if you're not, like, if you haven't got lightning speed and you're not going to be a back, like, it's quite an attractive option. Like, it's a real fun position to play. But
like, the Fijians have got great loosies. The Georgians have got great loosies. So
I think it's a bit of a glamour position.
It's not enough to have great loosies, though.
You need more than great
loosies. If you're going to go with, like the likes of France.
It's hard watching guys like Mark Morgan, who has...
Mark Morgan, this guy. It's always hard watching that guy.
Jack. Who's clearly a great player. Very good player.
He was pretty good at the weekend.
He was great. He was busting his ass, you know? I don't think Dafydd Williams is a bad player.
Jenkins, the lock?
Yeah, Dafydd. Bloody William.
If it's a Welsh name, you take a stab. You might be right with a Williams. I think they had Thomas Williams.
Jenkins is pretty Welsh too.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So Dafydd Jenkins, I think he seems to be...
He's only like 22 or something as well.
Why the hell did they make him captain at 21?
Well, was he 19? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts, eh?
Really young.
And it just seems...
He literally is still covered in acne.
Yeah.
That's how young he is. What were you doing when you were like 20?
I play lock for Wales.
Yeah. Sure you do, pal.
You're tall, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But I think he's quality. I think there's something in him. And maybe a lot of these other players, there is something in them, but they're not right. I would say they are not star players in Super Rugby, these guys. They're fringe players in Super Rugby squads. A lot of them good NPC players. That's what I'm seeing when I'm looking at them out on the park.
France are amazing?
Oh, France were great.
How much of this, like...
And, like, we might go away and eat our words and be like, France does that to everybody, but I don't...
Because they got DuPonted a few times.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
So he set up three tries in the first half. He's a savage.
You know what's crazy about... We'll go back to Wales in a second. We'll talk about France some more, but the thing, you know, you always get taught... And one of the big mistakes you make as a really little rugby player, a five-year-old, six-year-old, is you hold on to the ball and you try and run around groups of people and you end up kind of running backwards. And the next kid gets the ball and then they kind of end up running backwards. And you just see this mob of children running around.
It's like a swarm of bees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you learn pretty quick that the ball beats the man. So if you pass the ball, you're going to find he's going to have a way better chance to be in space.
Yep.
DuPont turns out on his head, the amount of time he just like
fart asses around seemingly drifting to nowhere.
He's like just wrestling and going around and just finding some
he
sort
either
of,
straightens or finds a gap or pings a ball to find a man or just freaking kicks the thing.
Yeah, he looks like a raptor that's just trying to find a gap in the electric fence and then like test, there it is.
Yeah.
And then he's gone and he's just electric pace, strong as a bloody ox.
Yeah.
Incredible step, incredible kick. He is a phenom.
There was a hilarious moment in the commentary we had, because we get the international commentary here in New Zealand. We don't get like the ITV, BBC, or like the Virgin or whatever, like the Irish commentaries. We get the international one, and I forget the name of the guy. I'm pretty sure he's a former scrum half, though. And he said during that game, like, if I was playing DuPont, I would just be watching him all the time.
Yeah.
As if, like, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just not watching him. They're just not watching
him. Two players commit to him,
and he's like, oh, there's space now.
Yeah, and he flicks the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's watching, like, the winger comes in. He puts an amazing kick in. Like,
it's not the fact that he's not
being watched. He's a freak.
Yeah.
He is an absolute freak. And
like, he can kick like mid-stride, seemingly kind of a bit off balance, and just it's like pinpoint.
Yeah. You almost need like your number six or your number seven to be like, I don't give a shit what you do in the rest of the game, how many turnovers you get or anything like that. You're going to be completely judged on how ineffective you can make the punt.
I think that's what the box like to do with like Peter Steph Dutoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's got a massive engine and he's pretty quick. He's just a big guy.
Stay all over him.
So they would just be like, whoever the number 10 is for the opposition, I mean, with France is obviously at nine, but they would just be like, you just run and run and run. And there's like videos of like, even when he doesn't get him with the ball, he still gets close enough to them to make them hurry, to make their lives miserable. Yeah. So you could commit one guy, that like good. That's your job.
He's that, and you can really see the difference. And I think France were good across the board, but having them starting at a Six Nations with DuPont and without DuPont, like last year, huge difference.
Yeah,
you know, like it was massive.
Yeah, Old Dreed also played very well.
Yeah,
number eight.
I thought Interpac was playing well until he got
the red card. That's a bit dumb.
It was just like a lazy one. Just sort of braced himself, but it looks bad. It's
just a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah. No, it didn't feel like he was moving into it. So, I don't know. On their commentary we heard, it was like, well, the last one was a yellow. That'll be a yellow.
I thought, nah, that's going to be red.
Because he just didn't do any. Like, yeah. He wasn't
finished. The other guy, the first one, though, the Welsh yellow card, he was a bit less straight upright, and there was more of a dip from the tackle motion because he was a secondary guy. So...
Yeah,
it looked worse to me anyway, but I've called them wrong many a time. But yeah,
I want to ask you about France in a second, but just before we do that, Wales, is that them gone? Is that their well, like,
I think it's just absolute madness that Warren Gatland is still the coach.
He's got his make or break game coming this weekend.
Well, they're playing Italy this week. So that's actually a really interesting game.
In Rome.
Can they get rid of, they often get rid of coaches mid Six Nations?
I think it'd be end of the Six Nations if they make a move.
Mm.
They'll let him see out the tournament, but yeah, he just needs to do better. I mean, that's it. I know he's already brought in the youngsters. He's reverted a little bit this week just gone, by bringing back some of the veterans in, but
they got nothing on attack.
43-0.
They got, and when they had the pill for a bit, and just one-off running. Like, I know when they talk about Warren Ball, but it was a pretty boring style of rugby, and it seems as though he's...
It was interesting because he, like, when I watched the game, I remember they started and they put in a big up and under, which Thomas Ramos fluffed to start with. And I was like, hey, I've seen this before. The Aussies have done this to Ramos before.
Yeah.
The Box have done this to Ramos
before. Ramos, other than that, played really well.
Yeah, oh, fuck yeah. I put him on my team of the week. Yeah, but that can be an area you can put teams under pressure if you can't run the ball through them. You can just put in up and unders, and you'll get maybe 1 in 3 if you send guys to contest them and don't kick them too deep.
Yeah,
I thought they should be doing that more because the French defensive line isn't going to be busted very easily, and they had a bit of success with that early. Tom Rogers was chasing up and unders. But Gats actually said that in the post-match. He said, oh, I thought we should have did more up and unders. The guys just kept trying to run it. And I was like, isn't that your job
to tell them that? Yeah, get the messages out. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. They're constantly on the...
I would have thought so.
The comms to try and get messages
down
there.
How do the players not know what you want them to do?
Yeah.
I find that baffling.
Yeah. Well, that sort of shows either that they're just completely ignoring him or he's not giving messages in the game.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you thought that's the way they should be playing, do something about it.
Yeah. But can you... Is there anything... Who's the best player in their back line? The Welsh back line.
I mean, Thomas Williams, the halfback, and his club form has been pretty good, but he didn't get much of a chance to shine at the weekend.
Yeah.
I like Josh Adams, the winger, but again, a winger in this Welsh back line at the moment is not going to be a guy to highlight. Nick Tompkins in the midfield had a bit of a stinker. I don't know. Llewellyn is one of their guys who's, again, playing well at club, and Gats didn't select him. He's like the joint top try scorer in the Premiership for his club, Gloucester.
Hoskins
the
Tutu.
It's kind of like that, yeah. Mm. And like Gats is like, oh, we don't have any good 13s. And it's like, you've literally got the best try scorer 13 in the Premiership and you didn't pick him.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So I don't know. There's a few things that don't add up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Wales with a better coach can be Grand Slam champions or competing for the Six Nations, but I think they should be better than that.
Better than getting the wooden spoon. So how many losses are that in the row now?
I think it's 13. Baker's dozen, the commentary kept going on about.
That is ghastly. Like, the fact that a nation like Wales... I mean,
they were always going to lose that game.
But yeah, though, I know, but like, it's not just the fact they lost that. It's the fact that they lost the 12 preceding games, and it's the amount that they lost by and the manner that they lost by. And the fact that they're not showing anything, any resolve on the park that would indicate that there is anything in the brew that's going to turn things around.
Yeah.
So, and you have to put that all on top of the 12 previous losses, and there shouldn't be a world that an international coach for a tier one, I'm saying that in quote marks, nation should be able to retain their coach, even if it is a coach that has done great things in not years past, decades past.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look, didn't he get rid of all his coaching staff, basically? Or didn't they flick
on? He's got some of his old boys back with him. Like, his attack coach is this guy, Rob Howley. And his attack's usually a bit crap. Yeah. But it seems to be evident. Like,
you can see what I've done with them. I'm just pointing in the distance at the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I'll put our faces in. Do you see the Welsh guy, what I've done to him?
You've made him black and white.
That's where I feel like they are right now.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But actually, if you think about it, speaking of the coaching staff, like, the best Warren Gatland sides were like when he had Sean Edwards, the defense coach, with them. Like, they were never, maybe I'm just being a bit harsh, but I don't think they were ever like a crazy attacking team that would necessarily cut teams to bits, but they were always really defensively hard to break down.
Yeah, and they had a game plan that was working.
Yeah.
So, but clearly the blank game plan is not working for this group of players.
That's it.
And whether they look better under a different coach,
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you pull the trigger and you still get the same stuff. So, well, I don't know.
You can kind of see that with the PVAC to Gatlin selection in the first place.
That's true.
PVAC did not get nearly as much rope.
That's right.
You know, so...
Maybe they pulled that trigger a bit too early.
I like the Welsh. Come around, Beath. Like, the Welsh are awesome people and they love their rugby. And this, and they'll be, the public will, this will be, they'll be filthy on it.
The French also love their rugby.
They do.
And I mean, their wingers both scored a brace.
Yeah.
BLBRA got two. Atisogbeg got two.
Atisogbeg. Tell me about this kid. He looks like he's
first played for...
Atisogbeg?
Atisogbeg, I think. Yeah. He first played for France during the mid-years against Argentina last year. And then he's only really in the team at the moment. He's in the squad, but he only really got a start because Piano got injured. Looks like
he's got wheels. He's got wheels. Got something about him. Youth on the side still, yeah.
And there's another guy, this guy Jureon, who hasn't even got a cap yet, who's like the top 14 scorer, who's also in the squad. He might get a game as well at some point. So they got wingers for days.
They were able to absorb a fair amount of pressure in the first 20 minutes without looking too bad, and then they were just able to clinically stack points on it. Yeah. Every time they got down to the 20, you were like, "There's a try.
There's coming. Something's coming."
And then. And put that in with the odd sporadic halfway.
Yeah, they had Ramos a couple of dry spots. Really, like, start of the first half, they had a bit of a feeling out period. I think start of the second half, it took them a little while to get going. But when they got going,
it was unstoppable. Yeah.
They balled a lot as well. Big pack.
They brought on like a bomb squad all at once as well.
Yeah.
That was...
So,
that's a really good idea by the French. I wonder if that'll catch on.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll get any grief from it from the international media calling them out for ruining the game. Damn French.
If they win enough, yes.
Yeah, if they keep winning. If they win a World Cup and get number one in the world.
What a...
You think they're looking the favourites at the moment based on that, or is it too hard to tell because Wales
Ireland,
are a bit crap?
Ireland showed some really impressive things as well over the weekend too. So,
do you want to get to Ireland next, or do you want to go with Scotland, Italy?
Let's go, because... It's what that game that I just watched the highlights.
3:15 in the morning.
You woke up for it?
Oh yeah.
You're a nut job.
I know. But thankfully it was a good game.
Was it?
Yeah, really good.
I kind of wish I watched it, but like
it was really good.
Can I tell you my Saturday morning, right?
Okay.
My Sunday morning. So I was like, I had the house myself, my partner was away.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to watch the Adesanya fight, and I'll watch the replays of the other.
He lost. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, he lost. Yeah, he's.
Guess get to that later.
Anyway,
I wrote it up for you.
I don't really want to talk about it too much. So I watched him. He lost, and I thought, okay, I'll watch Italy. And I was like, oh, I've got two games of rugby to watch now. It was like nine-ish, and I was like, oh, I'll be after one by the time I finish this. What a dirge. European rugby. Oh, no, I'm kidding. But then I was like, I really wanted to watch the Ireland game, game. So I was like, I'll just watch the highlights of this. So I watched the highlights of that, exciting highlights, because you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, they were what they were. And then I thought to myself, because I heard that it was like, for some reason I was like, oh, yesterday's one was 9:15, this one will be 9:15.
Right.
And I went on to bloody Sky, and I saw a thing saying next, Six Nations. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, it's starting next. I think it must have been a replay. But
They often do that here in New Zealand because the games are on in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
They will start them at a reasonable hour as replays for people who just wake up normal time. Yeah.
So then I thought to myself, I want to see a bit of reaction to what's happening on Twitter for the Adesanya thing.
You got spoiled.
Then I went on. What's that guy's name? Big Jim? Hamilton. Jim Hamilton. And he had a thing saying, you got to give it to Ireland. What a team. And I went, so then I was like, ugh.
Bugger
balls. So they had to watch. And then I was like, wow, I have to watch this.
Yeah.
Because it takes away all your all motivation. The tension.
Yep.
But it would have been a great game to watch with the tension.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I watched it. But I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was a really, really high quality game. But we'll get to
Scotland, Italy. Was also Italy. Like, I rolled off the couch at like 3:15.
You slept on the couch to make sure you got up.
Yeah, it's easier for me to get up if I'm uncomfortable.
That's a good shout.
Get off the couch, quarter past three, and it's like, it's Scotland, Italy. Scotland lost to Italy last year. They want the revenge. They want to, like, we are contenders this year. This is our year. They're a bit like the Warriors, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if it's not, if they lose that game, that...
If they yeah. right, if you can't beat Italy at home, you don't deserve to be in the conversation.
Yeah, sorry,
all due respect to Italy, but
yeah.
They score a try in the fourth minute, Darge powers up from close range, and they get Hugh Jones, so they're 14-0 up.
Hugh Jones is the one from the flicky?
That's Ben White's one on 29 minutes. They had they had a 14-0 lead, which is great.
Pretty early
start
on.
Start the game, 14-0. Italy kick a couple of penalties.
Because I was watching it going, oh, this could be one-way traffic.
Yeah, they scored the first two tries. Italy kick a couple of penalties to keep them kind of in touch.
Mm.
And then Scotland get a third, so it's 19-6. And then Italy get one penalty at the end of the first half. So it's like 19-9 at halftime. But it's been 3-0. So you're kind of like, Scotland have had so much more. They've had like 60%+ possession. This game's not dead and buried, but it probably could be if they'd taken all their chances and not given away penalties. So Italy win with a shout. And then the second half, Finn Russell throws an intercept pass, which, if you be it all over yourself.
I've dribbled.
Carpet as well.
That's okay.
But yeah, you would have seen in the highlights, Finn Russell throws a gift intercept.
Yes, I did see that.
And suddenly it's 19-19. You're like, Scotland!
You're
Scotlanding.
You're Scotlanding it up.
Stop Scotlanding it.
Yeah.
You had a 14-0 lead at home against Italy. You're supposed to just keep putting them to the sword.
Mm.
Don't balls it up. And it looked like they were going to balls it up. But then Darcy Graham got a real nice try since he stepped and jinked and jived. And
well, nice for a neutral and a bit of tension.
Oh, yeah, it had the tension. Like, if Scotland blow them away, it's nice, but it's probably not worth getting up at 3:15. But the fact that Italy came back into it made it a good watch. Like, as I said, Hugh Jones hat-trick, couple late tries. So 31-19, like, Scotland get the bonus point they would have wanted. They showed a bit of resilience and that Italy gave them a test and they rose to that challenge.
Yeah.
And Italy proved, like, unlike the Wales game, like we can still go away and give them a game. Even if we lost it, they'll be disappointed with the way they started because they gave up 14-0 lead early. If they're not for that, then it's a real game. I think both sides take...
Everyone takes something out of it. So
unlike the first game.
It's a good test for Italy going into Wales. Mm-hmm. Like, good primer for that. They'll be in better morale than getting their asses absolutely handed to them.
Yeah.
They'll be thinking, geez, if we did stick
in that. They scored some points.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst part for them is they didn't score a try, which they kind of constructed themselves.
Wales didn't score a single point, did they?
No.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, not good. And for Scotland, was it... not quite enough of a dominant performance to think
they looked a little bit vulnerable at scrum time. Like, one of the penalties Italy kicked was at scrum. And, like, when you've got Ireland coming next week, you feel like Scotland, your scrum is going to need to be at its peak of its powers. Their lineout was fine. They're a little bit of ill discipline, so they need to. They just need to be at a level above where they were. Like, they can get away with
games
that.
Was next week, aren't they?
Oh, next week's great. Like, this week was all kind of, well, France should beat Wales.
Yeah, it's like the right side
Scotland
of
Scotland should beat Italy, and then the Ireland should beat England. You
favorites
know what I mean?
Won.
Basically.
Yeah. Like,
all the home sides won.
It was business as usual.
Basically.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
next week, they're all, like, big.
Can
big
go
games.
Either way, basically.
Yeah.
Even the Minotaur. That's why I'm calling you Wales, I'm sorry. The smaller nations, the least fancied nations.
Mm.
Italy is the favourite in that game for my money right now.
I think so.
Yikes. I've got nothing much else to add because I just saw the tries.
Yeah. But no, as I said, I think the key part for Scotland is when they went under that we are Scotland and we'll put ourselves under a bit of pressure moment.
Instead of crumbling, they could have capitulated.
Yeah, they actually rose to it. So it wasn't the kind of famous... Italian victory. It was Scotland with the bonus point win, keeping themselves for one week, like in the conversation,
which is where they usually are at the time of year.
Yeah, they've won their first game for a few years now, I think.
Yeah. So they've got
Ireland next.
They got Ireland next, and do they have France or do they have England after?
They got France last. They might have England third. I forget the exact draw.
Wow, imagine if it's Scotland and France are playing for the.
Could be.
Depending on what Ireland do. And that Irish team played a game on the weekend as well, didn't
you? You watched that.
I did watch that game.
But you were spoiled to the result.
I was spoiled to the result. But if I wasn't spoiled to the result, I would have thought England were going to win that for a long
England
period of that game.
England started really well.
They played really well for about 55 minutes.
They started, they led for 40, something like 44 minutes of that game. They started well. Marcus Smith was pulling the strings. Caden Murley was looking a good selection. He got his try on debut. You know what I mean?
Things went a little bit south for him.
Things did go a bit pear shaped for him in the second half. Bugger. England won't like the second half highlights.
No. Yeah, they, it was, well, yeah.
But you were thinking like, oh man, they're initially thinking the hangover is real for Ireland. Like the November form has not gone away.
Yeah.
Andy Farrell's not there to bail you out of it.
I thought that was a massive, massive encouraging sign that they were able to fight their way through that
and
come over the top of them with real, real confidence and ability.
Yeah.
Like in the most pressurized situation to make it, even though it's on the scoreboard, it's 3 points, they were going to win that game for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, they looked like Ireland again.
Yeah, they looked really, really good.
Yeah.
They played bloody well. Can I? I am not Irish. Oh, I am Irish by blood. 75% of my DNA is Irish.
There you go.
Apart
from O'Sullivan, what else are you?
So yeah, I'm pretty Gaelic because I'm 75% Irish, and then I'm 17% Scottish Gaelic. Is what it said. And then I think I'm 4% Northern European.
There you go.
I'm a white guy. I'm about as white as a
You sunburn.
Yeah, I don't sunburn. I'm actually brown.
Okay.
Look at me, browner.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But anyway, what was I saying?
Irish. Oh, okay. You're Irish.
I thought. Now I'm one of these people.
Ben O'Keefe, you're going to talk about Ben O'Keefe?
Yes, I am.
I could feel that coming.
I'm one of these people who's like, I know there are people who come out with the philosophy is I don't talk about the referees. I find it boring.
Talked a bit about the referee in my video for that one.
Yeah,
because there were two things I didn't like about
it. Beside the point, it's not going to impact the game. We get told, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, you don't want to bag the referee. I never want to personally bag the referee, but I see the referee very much like a player.
Right.
If there's a player like Merle who makes some really bad decisions at the back of the game where he's like forcing the ball in his own in goal for no reason, you're like, yeah, you mucked up there, pal. Like nothing against you personally.
Because obviously didn't force it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you shat the bed, but hey,
I guess that's just pressure.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Pressure can do weird things to people's brains.
And that's the same with refereeing as well. So I think that we talk about these fine margins, and referees have this huge amount of power to swing momentum in games, and.
They have power to push things in one direction or another.
That was wild, and I really thought that. Ben O'Keefe, I think is a quality referee, and I don't want to say anything because I think people who say you can go say all sorts of awful personal things, that's not on.
People send death threats and all kinds of stuff. But if I have
an accountant who mucks up my accounts, I'm like, oh, you mucked up there, pal. Like, you know, like people make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's just he's making mistakes in the public eye and it has an impact on the game.
Yeah.
And we hear about how these games are all like fine margins. Everything's fine margins. So I think it's fair game to talk about the performance of the referee.
Okay.
And the performance of the referee was shit. Like, he was not... He didn't have a good game. Like, I've seen him have cracking games. But it looked to me like... It was like the Irish came over the top and looked like the better team towards the end.
Yeah.
But the... amount of 50-50 calls coming from someone who is far more of an Irish fan than an England fan.
If you take any just random New Zealander and ask them to pick who do they want to win between Ireland and England and rugby, it's going to be
the,
Ireland.
The amount of 50-50 calls and infringements and stuff that were getting called against the English, especially in that second half when all the momentum was against them and they kept on trying to push in like... One of the key moments in the game for me was actually early in the second half where the halfback does get like England start okay for the first few phases. They're hot in the red zone of the Irish. They've got all the momentum and there's maybe a line-ish ball, but it looks backwards to me to Genge, who makes a little bit of ground and he blows his whistle, gives it a penalty. They And then, so like, this is like maybe 8 minutes in. Like, okay. England had the start of the running in the first half, in the second half.
Okay.
And then they punt it down. You know, the Irish punt it all the way down. Then
what was the penalty for? Like, obstruction or something?
No, it wasn't. Sorry, it wasn't. It became a penalty because they did a knock on, and then there was
scrum.
And there was a scrum infringement, and then they got all the way out of there. Okay. Out of there. And I was like, that was a huge moment.
Was it a knock-on that went like straight down?
No, he got it as a forward pass.
Oh, okay.
So it was, and it wasn't. Okay. You looked at the replays and you're like, line if anything, but definitely doesn't look forward out of the hands.
Okay.
And there were like a number. So what do
you
think?
It's one of those calls that like you let it go, and if it goes to a try, then you can overanalyze it.
Well, they were right in there, like,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't look at every 50-50 ball, but if it's a try, then they'll go.
If it led to a try, 100%, it would have gone upstairs.
Just for a general play, you think just let it go.
Yeah, and they just called it a knock on.
Forward. Okay.
And it was, and from that point on, like, felt like every little call was going against
the one that got me was the push.
The push is bad. Yeah, the push was.
I've seen a lot of people saying like,
can't touch it. Yeah,
he genuinely pushed him. Ireland would have won that line without the push, but.
Are you kidding? There was no deviation off the line. He turned and his hands like that, and he touches the player. He
touched him. I know, like, if you go by the strictest of the strictest degree, like, you don't give the referee a chance to blow the whistle. That's generally my philosophy as well, but that call was bullshit.
Yeah, that was freaking bad.
I would hate then that call to go against my team. Wasn't a push.
That was definitely not a push. Irish fans, like, come on, if you're on the other receiving that call. You've got an extension from the elbow through the forearm in this direction. We're talking about the nature of a push. We all know
it was a touch. I agree. I'll give you it was a touch.
Yeah, the guy doesn't move in the air. It's an overthrow.
Unless he's like, oh, I've been touched.
I think Ben O'Keefe, to be fair,
he might have got the call from the AR.
But it seemed as though, and there seems like even the breakdown, I was like scratching my head. Jamison Gibson Park is such a little. He's so good at the skullduggery. When one like the number, the Irish are often on the opposition side of the ruck, but do a good job of still remaining the ball, getting the ball available. Jamison Gibson Park is so good at pinning in players with his shins. Pinning in players with the shins, reaching, like putting them in a position where
they can't
roll away, and then picking up the ball and smacking it into the back of their heads and stuff like that, and just making a meal of it. He, like, you just watch him. He does it so well. It's like chef's kiss stuff, but it's pretty blatant in there. Mm. So, I thought that if I was English, which I'm not, I would be like, oh. Just as a neutral, like felt a bit rough, and you could see why the amount of penalties were going. You know, it's hard to sort of like build momentum in a half when you're just getting zero calls and all the 50-50s are going against you. The other one
that I didn't like was when there were some handbacks. He called everyone over, the two captains over, and he was like, anybody else does that again, you're going to get yellow card and I won't have any of this. You're going to go to the bin. Next guy who runs it is just going to be going to the bin.
It's
like, okay, that's cool. That's like, as a parent, you're like, kids, if you do that again, you go straight to your room. Enough for you.
You got to follow through
with your consequences. Follow through with that. Later on, there was handbags and people ran in and he was just like, guys, don't run in again. And I was like, if you've got kids.
You're bullshit.
It just felt like rubbish. Don't make a big song and dance about it.
Yeah, and the English didn't help themselves out. Their midfield defense fell apart.
We've just been whinging for the last few minutes. I don't want to take anything away from the way Ireland played. It's not Ireland's fault
that the referee...
And Ireland played some magic rugby as well.
Yeah, and to stay in the fight, like James Lowe...
The early storm. James Lowe.
Played as well as... I've seen him play for a long time. Ages. Yeah, really, really. Bundy Aki was great.
The way he got rid of Mitchell in that tackle... Fucking that was amazing.
Huge moment. And like
he was all over him. He was literally like on top of him.
Slade seemed to lose a bit of his defensive effectiveness and there was a bit of penetration through the middle.
Yeah.
Which was,
I think Bundy also took because the first try, Marcus Smith kind of has a big line break to start the game off and he kind of skins Bundy Aki. Bundy Aki's kind of caught pretty flat footed. He's not as young as Marcus Smith and it's a big line break. I think it ends with the Murley try on the left wing. Well, they certainly get some good territorial penetration from beating Aki, but then Aki gets his revenge on Marcus Smith later for that try.
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
He is a tank. Yeah. Jeez. Man, he looks like he's got that freaking old man strength now as well. Like, just, you know, you touch old fellas and they're just like made of granite and you're like, oh. Or they like grab something out of your hands and you feel like the hand of God has just ripped the remote out of your hand. I think going back to times when my granddad stole my remote while I'm sitting here trying to watch. What would I be trying to watch?
Smurfs.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, a great performance from Ireland. Like the fact that they were able to keep their composure. With all the bullshit that people are saying about the form, like been going on, saying it.
The different coaching setup and whatnot, just the disruptions, and like this young guy picked at 10, you know.
He looks classy.
Yeah, to go down and have that extra pressure on you and to meet, kind of like I said, the Scottish game, to have the resilience, the mental strength to be like, nah, we got this one.
And then just to put them to the sword when it counts in the last 10-15 minutes of the game.
That's when Ireland, like I looked at their numbers from last year, that's when they were brutal. Like they were brutalized teams in the final 20, kind of like the All Blacks of old. Like you might be able to stay with them for 60 minutes because Ireland go through so many quick phases that make you tackle on tackle on tackle. Mm. But come the final 20, you're knackered.
Yeah, absolutely. And
like England picked two loose forwards on the bench, so they had extra guys. Like
Tom Curry, the Curry boys are both great, aren't they?
Curry was great.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially, he got like three turnovers in that game. Like he was quite incredible defensively. I think Ben Curry had like 18 tackles, so it was a massive shift. But then they brought on the like replacements. I think it was like, was it the try where
who's
it was
the guy
like
who played
Cunningham South and Genge, and then there's just like friggin' straight James Lowe straight through. Like that, if you're gonna pick the fresh forward from the bench, that gap shouldn't be there.
Cunningham South, is that the Westlaker?
Yeah.
So he, I thought he like came on full of piss and vinegar, but just didn't handle it.
Mm.
Like he seemed like he was really fired up, started a niggle that didn't really need to happen. Did he knock the ball on at some stage as well? Like just seemed as though he wasn't.
Yeah, vaguely remember.
He lacked a little bit of composure out there, was just like too like revved up to get anything really done. But yeah, it's so it'd be so frustrating for England fans because for so many long periods over the last 12 months, they've looked world class in games.
They led for 40 odd minutes in this game. They are in Dublin, which is a fortress.
They are the best team in the world at losing to world class teams. Like, you want to beat a team and have a good game? Play England.
I'll give you a good game.
Do you think there must be something, you know, the psychology of the team is just off, the culture in the team?
There's been a few times when Steve Borthwick's, and it's always one of those captain hindsight ones, but there's been a few times where he's made substitutions and they've kind of not looked that great. Like I remember once he took off Marcus Smith and brought George Ford on, and the game kind of went to custard.
And then George Ford, it was against the All Blacks, eh?
Yeah, I think so. And then there was this, like, as you said, like the Curry guys were playing well, they brought on Cunningham South, and then there's a big gap between him and Genji. It's not one player, it's not one call, but it's just like, some of the times he's not getting the impact from the bench that he needs.
I thought a problem that they had throughout the game was actually their outside backs.
Caden really has a couple of big old howlers. Like one of them, he touched it when he was trying to feel the kick. So he had to chase it because otherwise it's going to be off him. So I get why he had to chase that one. But then the second one, he fields it and he's just like in the end goal. And it's like, just touch it down. It's the goal line dropout. It's not ideal. But it's better than being dragged back into the field of play, out over the touchline, and it's a 5-meter line off Ireland.
Yeah, that was weird.
I've never seen that before.
It was just a brain fart.
That was bonkers.
Yeah. Bonkers. I think Stewart had some nice moments in the year.
Stewart getting skinned by Gibson Park was just like, that's just Freddie Stewart. Like, bro catches high balls.
Runs straight.
Bro can fucking run straight. Like there was a couple of times when Ireland kicked them the ball, and without hesitation, he ran it full steam back at them. Like, you know, like sometimes you see the fullback kind of like, maybe I'll kick it, maybe I'll look to options around me. Stewart was just like, nah, my instructions are
big boy,
run straight. And he did it really well.
Yeah.
But then get that guy to defend 1v1.
Get some agility training or something.
No chance.
Yeah, he's got
like Gibson Park. I mean, good play. He's not that young. He's a halfback.
Yeah. He runs like he's got his feet in concrete in those situations.
Like he's got his strengths, But he's chucked all his stats into the...
Yeah, his sliders are off.
His sliders are way off. He's got no agility.
Yeah. It is
a
problem.
I feel bad because I know the other fullback, Furbank's out injured, so...
Fairbanks out, he's in, and where's Fabio Owusu?
He's injured as well.
Oh, I like him.
He's a good player.
And who was on the other one? Because he wasn't playing particularly well either.
Freeman, he scored a try at the death to get the bonus point.
Yeah.
But yeah, didn't get as much ball as he would have liked. But Sheehan got a try from the bench, the Irish hooker.
I like the look of Lawrence, by the way.
Oh, Lawrence played well. Yeah, he was running at Prendergast all day. Oof. Yeah.
Big physical boy.
Big.
Yeah. Sheehan's try was good.
Try was good. He freaking slammed it down. Yeah. He kept set it up with a wide pass. Like, he's only just come back from a long layoff with an ACL injury. So very pleasing to see. Crowley came on. I thought pulled the strings well. I don't know if he starts next week ahead of, or this week ahead of Prendergast. Maybe.
We'll see. Who have they got? They got Scotland.
Scotland, yeah.
How can they show a bit of faith in Prendergast? Really, to keep going. He looks a classy player. Looks like there's something about him. I think Crawley looks a good player too. But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
Crawley. Or Crowley.
They're all the names down the bloody same. It's a problem.
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
I did.
There's Mr. Crawley. That's where you're getting it from.
Oh, really?
There's Crowley and there's Frawley. Mr. And Bates. And then Downton Abbey is Mr. Crawley.
Mr. Bates.
So, is that everything for Ireland, England? I mean, England do get two late tries. Bonus points. Curry... and Freeman get two late tries. How gutted should Ireland be that they let the foot off the gas? Or do they not care?
I'm sure they'll bring it up in the review. But do you put a line through England for their chances for the Six Nations there? Or do you think there's more twists in the tail?
Well, they have France at Twickenham.
If they lose that,
in Le Crunch, obviously, if they lose that one, they're gone. So they're on, we got to win everything else.
Yeah.
The bonus point helps. That keeps you in the race. You hope somebody else loses.
Yeah.
You know, you hope Ireland or France drop a game. Well, if France lose to them, then they definitely lose a game. You hope Ireland drop a game.
That'd be great result for the tournament.
Yeah.
Scotland get up.
If Scotland get up and England get up this week, then it's friggin' it's all on.
That'd be tasty.
Very tasty.
Yeah. Tasty times.
First one is Italy against Wales.
Okay. Going to give it to Italy. Where's it getting played?
Rome.
Yeah, and Rome, I give it to Italy. Just the I think Wales will come out and play well for the first 20 minutes. It'll be competitive. It might be competitive for longer than that. But
if Wales lose that, I think they've got Scotland away.
They lose.
And they've got Ireland at home.
They lose.
And they've got, I think their final game is, I might have the order wrong, but I think their final game is England at home.
Which it probably is.
If there's a game to get up, maybe it's against the old enemy.
I don't see it happening. I just don't. Like,
so you think this is the game, make or break, Italy? You got to win against the Italians in Rome, if you Gatland, to keep your job? If he loses this, is he gone burger?
I would say he should have been gone burgers 3 games ago. So I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I don't know how.
If he loses every game of the Six Nations, should he just step down?
I think he should have stepped down last year. He lost every game calendar year.
So he should have stepped down last year, and the next best time to step down is any time now. Yeah,
exactly. I think he should have been going along. I don't think he should have been called up. Like,
they should have stuck with Pivac.
I don't
know. It's one of those ones where they think they're here. The results are here.
Yeah.
So they sack the coach, thinking they're going to get back to there.
But it went further.
I'm making hand gestures, if you're listening on the podcast, high
level.
You think you're high and your results are low.
Yeah.
So you sack the coach to get your results back to high, but they stay low and actually get lower.
They actually just go into a deeper pit of shit.
Wayne Pivac must be just...
Is he just hanging his hat on the fact that they beat Australia at a World Cup?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only result of any note. And that was a Australian team in complete disarray.
Yeah.
You know.
Schmidt's turned them around.
Yeah.
Well, still haven't heard what Schmidt's going to do yet. Yeah, they've given him a deadline.
We'll see.
So you're giving it to Italy. I think Italy also. The only thing I would say about that one is Italy don't do well when they are the favourites.
This is true.
So that's the one thing I would say maybe works in Gatz's favour.
I think, what is it? What's the name of the coach? It's not Contepomi.
Gonzalo Quesada.
Yeah, I think he's made them a better side. I think that they can get up for it.
Did you watch Six Nations Full Contact?
I watched first 3 episodes or something. I thought it was better than last year.
No, it's shit.
Why?
It's worse than last year.
I thought it was better, actually.
No, it's worse.
Okay, well, we have different opinions.
No, how dare you?
I'm right.
Clearly, they didn't get much access to anybody but England and Italy.
Oh, really?
Like of all the 8 episodes, 5 of them involve England.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just wondering, when is Ireland coming up? I haven't seen an Irish episode. Ireland
involved in one episode where they lose to England at Twickenham.
Oh.
And then the final episode, which is like the who's going to win the Six Nations. All so right, that's okay. A kind of, you know, every episode is 2 teams.
Yeah.
The final episode is 4 teams.
I saw one with Doohan.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
He was actually quite vulnerable.
That was a great episode, because it was like, I'm not a robot. I'm actually a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel good when I play shit.
I like the fact that was my favorite episode,
I think.
He showed a side of himself that they made him comfortable enough for him to sort of expose some deep vulnerabilities.
He shows him a real kind of confidence player. Like when he's on form, he's going to devastate. But when he's feeling a bit of self-doubt, he might play poorly.
He might play poorly and just drift through a game.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a good episode. Yeah. That one was good.
Puts it on and is showing his wife.
They made Marcus Smith look like a bit of a dick.
What did they do to him?
When he was like driving his G-Wagon and he was going to meet with his Rock Nation consultants. Like that's not rugby.
He thinks he loves himself too much. He's a young man who's proven himself to be very highly talented, and him getting the fruits of his labor and effort makes him a dick.
Yeah, exactly right.
There's a lesson for you, kids. Don't do well at anything and enjoy what you've done, all right? Yeah. Because Mark Morgan will think you're a dick.
We'll see if anybody else.
Well, I don't know. I think there's that sort of like that's poppyish, man. Like he's a young man, like a young fellow who's getting a fancy car, and I don't know. Those people seem like kind of like not types of people I would want to hang out. The people like, we're going to see you as the face of rugby. Yeah. You're going to be like that.
That was just awful.
But he sat there and was like, mm-hmm. But there are people like that who exist in the sporting world, and you saw them. It's not for you to go, I want to hang out with that person. It's for you to go, oh, that's interesting. I never get really behind these
signed with them, so.
Yeah. What's the name of the gang?
Rock Nation.
Rock Nation. Cool. Yeah. Fantastic. Good one. But no, they can go buy another car. Fantastic. You know, like they do that sort of shit on the other ones where they go, they want to show like the glitz, the glamour, the wealth, like all that. It's human interest.
They kind of contrasted him with George Ford. They were like, here's Marcus Smith. He's got an American agent. He's got a new Mercedes. And he's taking photos in a suit. And they got George Ford like, he's got a pregnant wife. And he's sacrificing his, like, in a time with his wife who's about to have a baby to go
but
be with her.
But isn't that interesting? So, like, just to be like,
that's reality TV.
But people are at different stages of their life. You know, saying, different motivations.
That's the way they played it. Like, in season one, they also played up the drama.
Yeah, and they show that. Yeah, and that's a big part of it. I think the one that I saw people were giving him shit was Stewart talking about... I've only got 3 episodes in. Okay. So Stewart talking about his crystals with his missus. Like, I've given you this one for anti-anxiety. This quartz is actually really good for healing.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed was that most of the wags, the wives and girlfriends, were blonde. Like, there's a disproportionate... Like, I love my stats.
There was a French person.
There was a disproportionate number. I actually wrote it down, but I don't think I have the right notepad. The amount of people...
The stuff is... There is no...
The amount of people who are...
Why do you want me to show them?
The amount of people in the world...
There's no paragraph breaks. It's like he's in prison. Just let me show them.
Like, the amount of people... The amount of people in the UK that are blonde... It's not that high, like compared to like Scandinavia, right?
Doohan's wife was blonde, and she's
South African.
Yeah,
but like there was a lot of blondes. Like I think the French, like Nolan Le Garac's missus was a brunette, and I think Blair Kinghorn's missus was a brunette. But all the rest were pretty much all blondes, be it natural or dyed. So that's just the thing with rugby players and blondes. I'm not giving a judgment about it. I'm just saying that seems to be a trend.
Fascinating.
It's disproportionate, but that's what it is. If you want to get a rugby player for a husband or a boyfriend, your better chances are to be a blonde.
All right, okay.
Maybe blondes have more fun with
so
rugby
So I
players.
Need to have a sex change and dye my hair blonde.
That still might not be enough for you, to be fair.
You reckon there's probably more work?
Maybe a bit more work.
Even if I get the whole surgery, I don't just identify. I get the snip, the real snip.
We can talk about that
off
camera.
The deep snip. Okay, fabulous.
Well, I didn't think it was that good. You know, it's been canned for season three. They got a lot of access to England, which was great, and they got a lot, they didn't always make them look the best. Like before the Italy game, they show all the Italian guys preparing, and they show the Italy guy, the Italy England guys, like playing golf and hanging out by the pool. So that's what I mean. They make them look a bit douchey.
That's
reality TV.
It's gonna be something sort of watchable about it.
I get it. It's not made for diehard rugby fans. I get it.
It's made for people who don't even know what the result of
is gonna be on the edge of their seat.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I kinda watch Drive to Survive. I'm like, oh, who's winning? Oh my god, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of know. All right, fabulous. Well, next week's fixtures.
England against France is the second game. Le Crunch. It's at Twickenham.
At Twickers. England will be busting a nut to want to win. Hopefully they don't bust a nut everywhere. If they're going to bust a nut, there's going to be blonde people around. But they'll be dying to win that one, especially going out in front of their own fans and to get a real
world. No Intermac for France.
Yeah, that's one. But just... judged off the form book, you would have to say that the French are the favourites.
Yep.
Maybe there's a little bit of scar tissue there from that absolute pumping they took at Twickenham a couple of years ago as well. Yeah. So maybe that's motivation for the English to turn that one around. And also, maybe the English play really, really well for about 70 minutes and shit the bed at the end.
Maybe.
Quite likely.
You reckon it stays within a score, or do you think the French... put on a big scoreline, put you on the spot?
I think it stays within 10 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also think France should win that one, but it would not shock me to see England win that one.
Yeah.
And Scotland against Ireland. Now, I think that one's interesting because obviously Scotland are always focused on England.
Yeah.
But Scotland keep losing to Ireland every goddamn Six Nations. Well, so if there's a game for them to win and be like, we are genuinely contenders, this is the game.
Yeah.
But you feel like, with all due respect, Ireland will be thinking, well, we always beat Scotland.
Yeah.
But we've got to beat France. So they might have...
So, yeah, you're thinking that they take their eye off the ball and maybe the Scots get them on the hop. But they'll be saying how important the game is all week. Of course. But, it's going to be an interesting one. It will tell us everything we need to know almost about both teams and some... Maybe not everything we need to know about the Irish, but we'll know whether the Scots are just... actual contenders. All are pretenders. They finally here, or is this just another year where they're gonna scrape through with three or four wins? Well, not scrape through, but you know, put in a half decent performance, but not actually ever be in the title
come the final week
title race. Yeah. You know, which is, as a Scots fan, I'm sure you're desperate just to actually
just be in with a mathematical chance come game final five. Week.
Yeah. So, could it happen? Yes. Will it happen? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably will go as expected.
I would say so, but it'd be great to see a bunch of... like, imagine if England get the win at Twickenham, Scotland finally roll Ireland, and then God knows what happens with Wales and Italy. So this weekend should be a really good one.
100%.
What happened with Israel Adesanya?
What about Wales, Italy?
We already talked about it, didn't we?
We think Italy's going to win. Adesanya has lost three fights in a row, and this was a fight night.
Mid-30s now?
35. This is the sad thing about MMA is you watch these guys come up, they look invincible, and then they lose one, and then they lose two, and then they lose three, and then they just lose. It always seems to be the way. They very rarely get to go out on a high.
Yeah.
Most 99% of the great legends, you know, fall out. And sometimes it can be really painful. Who was it? Oh, I was about to say Eddie Guerrero. What's his name? There was a great welterweight? No, it's not even welterweight. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, sometimes in their final fights, they might have one where they just like fighting in a prelim and they just want to have one more fight to go out, and they know, and they announce it as their last fight, and their kids come along and they get the big show and dance,
right?
And then they get a brutal fucking knockout, and just it's just gross. So it's not a sport for sentimentality, and a lot of people saying Adesanya should probably retire now. He's been knocked out a few times now.
How was the fight? Was it close? Or
he was piecing him up, and this has been irritating. Like watching Adesanya in his last few fights that he's lost, he's been looking really good until he's not. He didn't look good against Strickland at all. That was a weird fight, but he looked really good against DP Drekus for long periods of time until it didn't. And in the first round this week, he looked really good, looked sharp, looked like he was picking him apart from the outside. And then early in the round two, like clearly won round one, and then early in round two just took a bomb and then just couldn't quite recover. Maybe slightly early stoppage, but not really too much to argue about. He was on top of him on his back. But yeah, that's it. That's all she wrote for that fight. And we wait with bated breath as to what will happen with Izzy's career from here. He's a legend. He's a two-time middleweight champion, defended his title multiple times. Mm. The only fighter in the UFC to defeat Alex Pereira. Yeah, he's got some of the greatest fights in UFC history. His fight against Gastelum was an absolute banger. Like, took down Whitaker twice, took down Costa, took down Vettori. Like,
Daniel Vettori, Jesus. Yeah, he's a cricketer.
Took down, what's his name? The Spider. Oh, you know.
Spider-Man. Peter Parker.
What's his name? One of the most famous middleweight of all time.
Khabib.
No. Oh, what's his name? They call him the Spider. Oh, what's his name? Comment below what his bloody name is. Bald Brazilian guy, Anderson Silva. He's an absolute legend, but probably time to bow out before any real damage. He's made millions and millions and millions of bucks. Yeah,
it's always a hard one.
Yeah. Anyway.
One of the sumo guys had to retire. The highest rank of sumo is a yokozuna.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard rank to attain because you've basically usually got to win back-to-back tournaments, which is pretty hard.
Yeah.
And the yokozuna retired.
Why?
He's too injured.
Oh.
But then right after he retired in the same tournament, the guy who won it, this Mongolian guy, won it in the playoff. He's just become the new yokozuna.
Oh.
So like, there's times when there's just no yokozuna because no one's good enough.
I wish it was like, so yokozuna is like a rare...
Yeah, it's because like you always get ranked after each of your fights. Like if you finish with a losing record, you basically get demoted.
Yeah, right.
And if you finish with a winning record, you get promoted. So you need to get promoted to the highest level and then win.
Two tournaments in a row.
Basically, yeah.
I wish...
Or I think you can be runner-up and then win.
I wish sumo had an element of like WWE in it with like... two guys and then like at the old retired yokozuna, his theme music plays and the whole crowd goes what, and he just comes storming in, yeah. And just wah, wah, wah. Sumo's the shit out of everybody. Throwing bitches out. That'd be hilarious.
It would be,
yeah. I don't think that's gonna I might write a letter to see if someone will take that up.
It's a fun sport.
Alright, Mark, anything else we've got to cover?
The links and stuff to Hot Jams are down in the description.
Jam it up down there. Our
sponsor. So cheers, Hot Jams.
Appreciate it. Sorry if the sound sucks. Hopefully it didn't suck
this week.
Yeah, there's no pee breaks.
No pee breaks.
It's on your channel.
There's a few F-bombs. Just...
don't listen to them.
Yeah.
You could avoid the whole podcast and miss them all.
Yeah.
It's hard to listen to this part of the podcast to get that message.
That's right.
But thank you for watching the whole podcast.
Yes.
Not everyone does. You're a part of an elite group.
We appreciate you.
Yes.
Hope you enjoy the Six Nations this weekend, everybody.
And we'll be back again next week.
Sweating our balls off, talking about rugby.
Yeah, well, this room is a little bit more moist, isn't it?
But the beer, cold beer is nice.
Yeah, 100%. Love a cold, non-alcoholic beer. Nothing more satisfying. Well, good on you, Mark.
Take care, fella.
Thank you very much, team. Hide it up.